You have your Bible, why don't you take it, open it up to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be in two places this morning. I'll tell you the other one in a moment, but we're going to start off in Matthew chapter 1. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's all right. There's a Bible in the pew in front of you. You can take that. We're going to be on page 807. If you don't own a Bible, take that one with you. That's our gift to you. We just want you to be in God's Word. And because Dick's giving 20% today, we're going to buy some new ones if we need to. So don't worry about it. We just want you reading God's Word. And this morning, as we have already been kind of mentioning in that time of prayer, we're in the middle of a sermon series we're calling Playing the Cards That You've Been Dealt. In this series, we're looking at life like it was a deck of cards, and we're all looking at our cards that we have been dealt. And as I've been thinking about this series and kind of working our way through it, I've been reminded of a season in my life. Back when I was in college. College, you do crazy things. You kind of get on different kicks. And this one summer, some friends of mine and I, we got on this kick of playing the card game Spades. Anybody played Spades in here before? Look at all these Baptists playing cards in here. Man, you can't fool me. I knew you were playing cards out there. You're giving me a hard time about cards. But we'd play Spades, and we'd get together, and I mean, my friends and I, we would wind up at somebody's house or somebody's apartment like every night. And we just got on a kick. And I mean, we'd play till 2 or 3, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning. You can do that when you don't have a real job, you don't have any kids, you don't have a mortgage. And we did. I mean, we just played cards. We played Spades every single night. And if you haven't played Spades, there's a lot of different ways that you can play. And sometimes we'd make up our own rules. But what you would, the basic, rules of the game are, there's four people. It's you and a partner across the table, and then you're playing against two people on this side. And everybody gets the cards, and then you figure out, kind of based on the cards that you have, high cards are good cards, and spades are the really good cards, and you just go around. And whoever has the best hand wins that trick, okay? We call them tricks. And you try to, before the game starts, say, well, I think based on my hand, I'm going to be able to get 5 tricks, or I'm going to get 8 tricks, or as a group, we're going to get, 7 tricks, or whatever, okay? Now, if you got some really bad cards, you could do what's called going, anybody know? I knew you played this game. You dogs, you can't fool me. I know you out there. You'd play what's called Nillo. And if you go Nillo, that means somebody's got a bad hand, and you think you can lose every trick, not get any. So if you're going Nillo, man, that kind of ups the antes a little bit. And so you've got the guys beside you here. They're trying to set you. They're trying to make you win a hand there so that then you lose. Okay, so it's kind of a little bit confusing, but you get the gist of it. I mean, going Nillo, that's kind of crazy. And here's the thing about playing Spades. The way we played it, you can't talk to the person across. It's just not like, well, looky here, Fred. I've got some pretty good cards here. I think we can go 8 tricks. You can't do that. That's called cheating or table talk. We called it table talk. You can't talk across the table, because if you start talking across the table, the way we played it, you'd walk away with some bruised places on your body. I mean, that's just kind of the way we did things. And table talk doesn't have to be like, hey, do you have a 9? Because I've got an 8. You can't. I mean, that is table talk. That's blatant. But it's even like, that's called nonverbal communication. You can't communicate. You table talk, you're going to get bruised, okay? That's the way we played it. But man, if you're going to go Nillo, well, that takes a lot of faith. Why? Because you have to put total trust into everybody else, that they can cover you, that they can cover your hand, that they know what's going on and what needs to happen. Man, it takes a lot of faith to play Spades and to play Nillo. You got to put your trust into your partner. There's a Bible verse in the New Testament, don't turn there, I'll just kind of tell it to you. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. You got to claim this verse if you're going to go Nillo, okay? And it says this, let's just say it together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And if you're going to go Nillo, you got to hang on to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And as we think about the cards that we've been dealt in our life, sometimes we've got to hang on till we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because there are some cards that we're holding that we just cannot see how we're going to play that card in a way that's just not going to cause us to lose everything. We've got to trust that there's somebody else that sees what's going on and that can help us play some of our cards. Because, man, if it's left up to us, it's not going to be good. And can I tell you where some of these cards come from? Our family tree. Our family tree. Some of the cards that we've been dealt come straight from our families. And you're going, wait a minute, that was kind of a sharp term. What does our family tree have to do with the way that I play spades? That's a great question. You guys ask the best question. Because if you're going to go Nilo playing spades, you are resigning yourself to somebody else helping you through something that you can't really control. And man, I'm telling you, if you're going to play your cards that get dealt by your family tree that you don't have a lot of control over, you're just going to have to play some of those cards by faith, because you can't see how in the world that card needs to be played. And in your family tree, can I just tell you this? You have to go Nilo a lot. You got to go Nilo a whole lot. Why? Because you don't have control over the cards in your family tree that get thrown your way. You just don't have control over it. And some of you are sitting there going, and I don't see how in the world God could ever make something good out of that card. Can I tell you this? He may just be on the brink of turning a bad card into a great card. He may be on the brink of taking that bad card and totally, totally turning it around. I am fascinated by family trees. I'm fascinated by ancestry lines. I mean, in our family tree, we've got people that came over from England. We got a little bit of Scottish blood kind of thrown in there too. If you know anything about history, that's kind of a weird mix. But hey, that's my family, kind of a weird mix. We've got interesting characters in our family tree. We have cattle rustlers in our family tree. We have famous Civil War generals in our family tree. We have a bare knuckles boxing champion in our family tree. So get ready and be careful. I'll knock you out. Man, do you know that in our family tree, we've got soldiers, we've got surfers, we've got cooks, cowboys, car salesmen. We even have a long line of missionaries in our family tree. We've got missionaries who did great mission work in China, in England, in Africa, in Southeast Asia. Did you know that in my family tree, some of the original members and originators of the Foreign Mission Board are found in our family tree? The first service kind of went, hmm? I said, you wait till the next service. That next service is going to go, check you out. How about that? That's a pretty good card. I'm interested in family trees. We all have interesting people in our family trees that deal us all kind of cards. Some cards from way back. And we have family also that we grow up with in the room next to us. And you know what? They pass stuff on to us. Sometimes it's really good stuff. Sometimes it's not so good. And the people that you're related to just deal cards your way all the time. Those cards may be really good cards. Those cards may be really, really tough cards. But when it comes to the cards that you've been dealt concerning your family and your family tree and what people have passed down to you, done to you, placed on you, influenced you with, what are those cards looking like? You don't put all those cards on display, do you? You try to kind of hold those, kind of keep those at the back. Hey, maybe your cards from your family tree just look great. Maybe you've got a strong family tree with great cards. Or maybe from the moment I started saying the word family tree, you got a knot in your stomach. And you're doing your best to keep the tears below the lower eyelid. And you just want to cry when you think about your family tree and the cards that you've been dealt. Calvin Miller said it so well. He said, half the time I get up to preach, half of the congregation is bleeding on the inside. And the other half the time I get up to preach, I'm the one who's bleeding on the inside. Hey, I'm telling you, no matter who you are, we all have difficult cards that we have to play when it comes to dealing with our family trees and with our lineage and with what our legacy is going to be. And we've got to just remember that we have a choice in how we're going to play these cards that we've been dealt. And maybe this morning, the lens that God wants you to view your cards through and to play your cards is that verse that we talked about, when you go Nilo. Can we just say it again and declare it as the lens that we're going to look at this morning's message through? Say it with me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And today, God wants you to remember this, that whatever the cards from your family tree look like, God wants you to have faith that He can turn a bad hand into a great hand. He wants you to have faith that He can turn a bad hand into a great hand. Does that mean we're all going to have fairy tale lives and marriages and homes like William and Kate did when we watched them get married in Westminster Abbey last week? No, probably not. But does it mean that God can take the cards in your family tree that may seem like really bad cards and find a way to help you play them with forgiveness and grace and healing and redemption that happens down the line, so that you don't pass down cards of pain to people coming behind you? Yeah, that's exactly what it means. And I want to show you this morning a family tree in the Bible. I want to take a brief look at four cards that we see in this family tree. It's in Matthew chapter 1. It's Jesus' family tree. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then for the next 16 verses, it just starts throwing down some of the craziest, hard-to-pronounce names you've ever seen in your life. I mean, there's some interesting names in there. And we're not going to get into all those names and read all those names. But then if you jump on down to verse 17, it kind of bookends the family tree. And it says this: so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Each of these 42 generations mentioned are just filled with people, all in the family tree of Jesus, who had all kinds of crazy cards. Excuse me. All kinds of crazy cards. And there's 46 individual names that are listed there. 46 names. You know, out of those 46 names, 41 of those names are names of men. And if you do your math, if 41 are men and there's 46 total, how many females are listed? Five. Ken, you got it. You got five fans. Yeah. Ken Jones, sit back here. Five. Yeah, that's right, five. One of those five, the mother of Jesus. So that means there are four. There's the final four females. And you just kind of step back and you go, wow. You know, to have your name mentioned in Jesus' family tree, man, those people must have had some incredible cards. I bet those 41 men were some of the greatest leaders of all time. I bet they had great cards. But the women, my goodness, to be the final four females in the family tree, what kind of cards must they have had? You go, why are you making such a big deal out of the females? Because it was a male-dominated society. And genealogies were primarily talked about in the males. And so, man, to get a female name in there, you must have had some incredible cards. Can I just give you the Cliff Notes version of the four females who weren't Jesus' mother? They're found between verses 3 and 6 of Matthew 1. Their names are Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and it just says, the wife of Uriah. You know who that was? Bathsheba. Can I just say this? If you haven't read their stories, and I encourage you to do so, those final four females didn't have all aces. They did not have great-looking cards. Instead, their cards are the cards of four cultural outcasts of their day. You go, cards like what? Cards like adultery, prostitution, incest, secrecy, lies, cover-up, even the card of death. Bad cards. Not good cards. Those aren't the cards that you want to play. And yet, the final four females in Jesus' family tree, those are the cards that they had been dealt. Because you see, whatever the cards from your family tree look like, God wants you to have faith that He can turn a bad hand into what? Say it with me. A great hand. A great hand. And of the final four females mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, only one has a whole book of the Old Testament devoted to her. It's the book of Ruth. Turn in your Bible to Ruth. Ooh, that's going to test some people. That's why they give you a table of contents at the front. If you're using the Pew Bible, page 222, boy, I see some hands going for that one because you're going to take the easy way out. Just, yeah, I kind of left my Bible at home today. 222 in the Pew Bible. And we're going to look at Ruth's cards for the remainder of our time. We're going to see the way that Ruth played the cards that she was dealt. It is fair to say that Ruth is one of the most perfect examples of a person who refused to walk by sight. Ruth walked and lived and played her cards by faith as well as anybody found in the Bible. She found her security in God. She lived out of a faith that looked at the future and still chose to trust in her great God to guide her just as He had done through ages past. If you read the story of Ruth, and there's your homework for the week, to read through the story of Ruth, four chapters. My gut tells me that most of you in this room didn't hang out all week long in Ruth. So let me give you a refresher course. Maybe you've read it before. Maybe you haven't read it at all. But let me just give you a quick refresher course of Ruth. Ruth is not an Israelite woman. Ruth is a foreigner. Okay? And you go, wow, I didn't really know that. Well, how do we get Ruth into this whole deal here? It's a great question. Let me tell you how we got there. The whole reason that Ruth becomes a follower of God, the God of Israel, is because there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, in the town of Bethlehem, in that region of Bethlehem. The scripture says there was a famine there, and what we'll see is Ruth's future husband, his brother, and his parents all uproot. You know, sometimes when the economy gets really bad and the housing market goes really down, and you're just trying to figure out how you're going to survive, sometimes you got to go to another place to get through it. Well, that's what happened. There was a famine in the land. And so this group goes over to this region called Moab. While they're in Moab, God allows paths to cross. And Ruth's path crosses the oldest son in this family. And they get married. And a friend of Ruth's gets married to her husband's brother. And Ruth's mother-in-law and father-in-law are there. And the scripture says for 10 years, it was great. They had a decade that the cards were just rolling in, and they were great cards. But here's the deal. After about 10 years, they got some bad cards. What kind of cards? Ruth's husband dies. Her brother-in-law dies. Her father-in-law dies. Bad cards. And I've told you before, one of the worst things that can happen to a woman in biblical days is to find herself in a place where she's got no men around her in her family to help protect her, provide for her, and ensure her days ahead. That's where Ruth finds herself. That's where Ruth's mother-in-law finds herself. Naomi is her name. And both Naomi and Ruth get dealt some terrible cards that are about to alter their whole lives. And can I just tell you, the cards actually look worse for Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. Why? Because Naomi, the scripture says, was advanced in years. That's a nice way to say she was old. She was just old. And now she's a widow. That's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be today. But it's a really tough place to be in biblical days. And it was really tough for Naomi. Why? Because there were no prospects on the horizon for her to get remarried. Her two offspring, both sons, gone. Any grandkids? Nope. What does that mean to her family tree? It ends there. That's a bad place to be in biblical days, to know that you're the end of the line. And when you look at your cards, you just go, this is not good. And the last years of my life may not be good. Ruth, on the other hand, is also a widow, but the scripture says she's still of marriageable age. Can I tell you what is incredible? Ruth had every opportunity to cut her losses. Nobody would have blamed her. In fact, Naomi, her mother-in-law, encouraged her, stay here in Moab, get remarried, start a family, get whole new cards. Look at Ruth's response to the cards that she was dealt. We'll pick it up in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth 1, verse 16 says this, "But Ruth said to Naomi, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you will go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.' And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. And the two of them went on until they came to where? Bethlehem. Here you have Naomi, an old widow who badly wants grandkids, not just so that she can show their picture to everybody else and spoil them rotten, but so that her family tree won't end with her. And she sees every card of possibility snatched from her hand because her two sons died childless. And she was bewildered and she was bitter from the cards she was dealt. And yet here you have Ruth, this young widow, one of Naomi's daughters-in-law, eminently marriageable, yet torn between staying in her own country of Moab and going with her mother-in-law. Some of you are going, that ain't a hard decision at all. I'm staying. I ain't going with my mother-in-law nowhere. But she's torn. And it blows me away to think about that. Why? Because for 10 years, she had heard the stories of the great God of Israel. Had she seen them? I don't know. But something in her family tree with Naomi had said, wow, that woman is following a great and sovereign God who brought them out of their homeland to my land. And look at all this blessing for 10 years. And now the cards are hard. And Ruth is going, I can either stay here or I can go. She chooses to go to the unknown world of the Jews. And as N.T. Wright says in his book, Small Faith, Great God, in these two women, we have a picture of the people of God in every age, under stress, in difficulty, troubled in spirit, unable to see what God is doing in their lives. And looking around, it looks like they have nothing left to live for. And Naomi looks into the darkness, and she realizes that it's God's darkness. And she knew the bitterness of these cards that she was experiencing came from the hand, the sovereign hand of her Father in heaven. She doesn't say it all happened by chance. She doesn't say the devil gave it to her. She says it came from God's hand. And she knew that the explanation of her present circumstances was with the one true God, the God of Israel. You go, how do you know that? Because that's what the Bible says. Look at verse 19. I'll show you. It says, and when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. They'd been gone 10 years, and now they're back. And the women said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has what? Say it with me. Dealt. The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full. I went away with great cards. And the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Did you see verse 20, what it said? And the Lord dealt a very bitter card my way. He dealt it to me. Some of you feel like Naomi this morning. That the Almighty has dealt a very bitter card your way. This is where you get to choose to walk by, say it with me, faith. This is where you get to choose to trust in the sovereign great God of the universe. This is where you get to go Nilo and trust that somebody else sees the cards and knows how to play them in a way that's going to cover you. Or you can choose to walk by sight and become very bitter, wilted, and fold. I heard it said this weekend, you can either get better or you can get bitter. Can I tell you, as your pastor, I'm not minimizing your pain. I'm encouraging you to lean into the great sovereignty of your God. And that may mean that you need to get some help. Hey, there's nothing unspiritual about going and talking with somebody that can help you process the cards that you're dealing with. But it's not brave to sit around and die. There's nothing brave or courageous about that, and that's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to get better, and He wants you to trust in Him. And Naomi had some tough cards dealt her way. Naomi learned the secret of faith in a sovereign, almighty God. Hey, nobody wins any points from just pretending that bad cards didn't come your way. And just put on a happy face. Oh, no, I got great cards. My mom's eating up with cancer, but it's great. My kids are rolling off the rails, but everything's fine. Nobody gets brownie points for being fake. God's saying, there's a way to play your cards in a way that's going to bring me great glory and you great benefit. And it starts by walking, say it with me, by faith. Walking by faith. So what about Ruth? Ruth picked up this same attitude from her mother-in-law. Some of you are going, I don't want to pick up the attitude of my mother-in-law. I don't even want to be near my mother-in-law. Hey, I got a great mother-in-law. Mama Ree, I love you. If you're watching online, I love you. You are awesome. Somewhere along the way, Ruth picked up the attitude of her mother-in-law that God of Israel is a great God, an almighty God, a sovereign God that gets things done. We don't always see how it all happens in the moment, but he keeps being faithful and he keeps calling these people to walk in faith. And Ruth goes, you know what? I'm not staying back home because my God's never did me any good anyway. I'm walking towards the great and faithful almighty God of Israel. Even if I die there, that's okay. And Naomi offers Ruth the choice to cut her losses and go back home. And Naomi just says, Ruth says, no way. Not doing it. I'm going to choose to walk by faith, not by sight. And N.T. Wright goes on to say this, the two women together give us a tremendous picture of biblical faith. It is a faith that looks at a black past and chooses to say, God is almighty. It's a faith that looks at our present circumstances with no security and chooses to say, we belong. We belong to the people of God. It's a faith that looks at a future without many prospects and says, God will provide. And at the end of chapter 1, it gets real good. It gets really, really good. Look what it says at the end of chapter 1. At the end of chapter 1, these two women arrive at Bethlehem with a handful of really bad cards, a hopeless future, but with an almighty God. And that's a really good spades partner to be playing with is God. Watch this. This blew me away when I read this. I mean, my jaw hit the floor. It says, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to where? Bethlehem. Underline this last phrase. At the beginning of the barley harvest. Whoa. And you're sitting there going, whoa, what's the woe for? So they showed up when the crops started coming in. No. They showed up because God led them to Bethlehem. Say it with me. At the beginning of the barley harvest. You're still going, not real sure where you're going here. What's the big deal about showing up in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest? Great question. You ask the best questions week after week. And just lead me right into where we're headed. Because what just happened is that God, in his sovereignty, just dealt Ruth and Naomi some great cards. Barley harvest? Great cards? Help me out here. I told you a couple of weeks ago the definition that I've been using of sovereignty. Sovereignty is God knowing and doing just the right thing in just the right way at just the right time for his great glory. Matthew 1, about verse 5, it says this, and Boaz, the father of Obed, by whom? Ruth. Now, what was the time of year that Ruth and Naomi showed up to Bethlehem? At the beginning of when? The barley harvest. Here's the big deal about the barley harvest. You see, God was about to send Ruth into the barley fields to provide for her, okay, something to eat. And not only just to provide her food, but to come into contact with the man who owned those fields. Take a guess what his name was. Boaz. Because see, up to this point, Ruth's status on Facebook was single and ready to mingle. And God, in His sovereignty, allows Ruth and Boaz to cross paths. Why? Because God's sovereign. And because God does just the right thing in just the right way at just the right time. And what time was it? It was at the beginning of the barley harvest. At the beginning of the barley harvest. And can I tell you what happens after their paths cross? And Boaz just kind of goes, Shazam. We got to change her Facebook status. And they fall in love. And they get married. And they have kids. And these two give great glory to God when neither of them were expecting that card to be dealt. Because God's sovereign. And the way that the cards play out, check this out. Ruth and Boaz have a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a young son named David. A man after God's own heart. And if you read forward, there's another lady out of Jesus' family tree named Mary who will follow in the footsteps of Naomi and Ruth to the city of where? Bethlehem, also known as the city of David, where our Savior gets born. And do you know what happens? Kings, foreign kings, just like Ruth was a foreigner, come back to Bethlehem and they do what? They lay all their great cards down before Jesus. And it all started at the beginning of the barley harvest. After Ruth chose to walk by faith and not by sight. Wow. We cannot ever tell in what strange ways our great and almighty sovereign God is at work. Your family tree hangs in the balance. And you choose to lay your cards down and go nillo and walk by faith and not by sight. It's easy to play the ace of spades. It's hard to play the two of clubs when the two isn't wild. And all you feel like you've got is a handful of jokers and wild cards. God's going, play it by faith. Play it by faith. Lay your cards down by faith. I'm bringing a barley harvest. It's coming. And you go, when? I don't know. But I do know this. Our God is sovereign. And our God does just the right thing in just the right way. At just the right time for His great glory and for our good pleasure. Does it all happen this side of heaven? Nope. But there's a day coming when you and I are going to enjoy the blessings of the barley harvest that God's bringing. And some of it may happen this side of heaven. A lot of it may happen this side of heaven. But there's so much reward that's coming. And this morning, whatever the cards from your family tree look like, God wants you to have faith that He can turn a bad hand into a great hand. So what do you do this morning with the cards that you've been dealt from your family tree? Go nillo. Go nillo. Choose to lay your cards down and put all your faith into a God who's going, I got a barley harvest coming. And I'm going to trump everything you lay down. And this morning, what I want to invite you to do is take your card, that physical card, that represents all the cards in your life, particularly those family tree cards. And in just a moment, Mike and the team are going to come, and they're going to lead us in worship. And I'm going to invite you just to come and lay your card down on this altar. Is anything magical going to happen? No. Is it going to be a step of faith that you're saying, this is my best option? Yeah. Yeah. You go, I don't like to walk to the front. Then don't walk. Stay where you are. But some of you are going, you know what? I need to walk today. I need to get out of my chair and come and put that on the altar and just say before Almighty God, I'm choosing to recalibrate my life to you today and say, you are sovereign and I am not, and I'm trusting in you because that's my best play. And some of you are going, you know, we've been thinking about joining this church. Can I just say, today's your day. Don't wonder about what other cards, just do it right now. Some of you are going, I've never trusted Christ. Let's come talk. Come talk to me. It's not a hard game to play. You just give him your life, and he'll give you his. Yeah, how do you do that? You tell him, God, I'm not God. I'm a sinful person who messes up royally. And he'll go, I know that. Thank you for reminding me. Let me give you my Holy Spirit that's going to wash you clean and empower you to live a new life. If you need to do that, I'm going to be standing right here. Everybody else is going to be coming and putting cards down. You come and just say, hey, I need to, this is what I need to do today, and we'll help you do that. You got your card in your hand? Hold it up. Stand right where you are, very quietly if you don't mind, if you're able to. And let's pray together. Lord, thanks for what you've been teaching us this morning. It's a hard thing to do. To go nilla with our family. But you can take a bad card and turn it into a great card. Lord, a barley harvest is coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. And so our best move today is just to choose to lay our cards down under your sovereignty and trust that you know just the right thing to do in just the right way at just the right time. And our best move is to lay our cards down. So God, as we respond for a few moments before we get out of here, may these be some significant moments in a very tangible way with just a goofy little playing card that could brand us and imprint in us. We're playing under God's sovereignty today. Others may need to come and not only lay their card down, but give you their life or to plant their church or their family here at this church. God, whatever decisions we need to make, may we do it with purpose and intentionality in these next few moments. Thanks for being our great and sovereign God. We give you our lives, every card that's represented in Jesus' name.